at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, we are back. The Home Improvement Show. Like to welcome in our friends at 97.1 FM joining in. So everybody from KMOX and 97.1 can reach me, find me right here for the next hour at 314-436-7900. Get your calls in, get your questions in, have some conversations. We're having a really good time. We had a great first hour. We got a lot to go and a couple calls sitting waiting. So I want to thank Greg for hanging on through the long break there. And if we can get Greg on the line, we will see what's going on. Hey, Greg, good to have
hey,
you call
Scott,
in.
Greg. Hey, Greg Boss. Hope you had a good vacation.
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So
hey,
what's up?
We bought our in-laws' condo. It's wood floors, and we put new wood floors in, and they don't squeak at all. But right through our hallway, they really squeak. I mean, is there a way of pumping something underneath that wood floor to keep it from squeaking?
Oh, man. So the only trick I've ever heard that it only works in one instant. And the problem is there's several reasons why wood floors squeak. So if it's from the actual wood floor and the tongue and grooves, I've actually heard of people using like baby powder, like a powder to kind of, you sweep it in there, let it get inside the cracks in the tongue and groove, and it'll kind of minimize the sound and the rubbing of that squeak, because the squeak is the wood rubbing. So if the squeak is coming from the actual subfloor moving or from the wood and the subfloor separating, then that's lower down and you're going to need a little more surgery or a little more work to try and get those squeaks to stop. Is the basement unfinished?
And part of it, yes.
Okay, because they do make some things that you can go in, and I've seen people, one, use kind of like shims and glue to kind of drive between the subfloor and the floor joists and kind of get that to lock in again and minimize that squeak. I mean, what you're trying to do is get the floor joists, the subfloor, and the hardwood floor all tight and not moving and not rubbing. So they make devices that mount to the floor joists, and then you screw up through them, and it kind of sucks all that together from the bottom, so you're not seeing screws or holes through the surface of the wood floor. So you're probably going to be into something like that. Is it in a hallway where it's happening?
Yes.
Yeah, and I tell you, on a rare occasion, in trying to fix these squeaks, what I found before, and especially I found it more in like newer construction because of nail guns and how things get attached, and it happens more where if they're nailing the wall to the floor, and your wall and your floor has a little deflection in it, and they're using small like nail gun nails, and say they don't hit the floor joist real well when they're nailing the wall down, I've actually seen that noise come from the floor moving up and down and the wall staying straight, and it's actually the nail going through the subfloor into the floor joist that's making that movement and that squeaking sound. So your whole floor is dropping, but your wall's trying to stay square. So occasionally I've seen that happen where we've actually gotten in. When we found it that way, we've gotten in through the wall and attached the wall to the floor better, and we've stopped squeaks that way. But it's a major trial and error basis. and just try to find it and use some of these things and see what you can find and see if you can get it. Because if the basement's unfinished, you can also screw upward into the wall itself too from under the subfloor with some long screws, and that might take care of the wall squeaking if it's the wall. But you gotta be good, and I know you know a lot. I was just talking about you about a chimney and stuff, but so you can screw up into that wall, you locate that wall where it is, screw from underneath the subfloor and kind of reattach it that way too, and you don't need to get into the drywall. But it's just, like I said, it's a lot of trial and error, Greg. I wish you luck.
I'll try the baby powder, is there a certain bracket you use to attach to the joist?
Yeah, there's brackets that they make that will basically, it's like a square part that screws to the bottom of the subfloor. And you got to calculate those screws, the length from the 3/4 inch, and make sure if your wood's 3/4, you got to, you know, make sure you have a short enough screw where it doesn't come through all the way through the top. But then it mounts to the floor joist, and some of them even tighten like a wrench. You tighten them and it sucks that floor down to that floor joist and stops that squeak. So some of them, it kind of mounts to the bottom of the floor joist, to the bottom of the subfloor, and then you tighten a nut and it'll suck that floor tight.
Okay, and you get that where?
You can get that at big box stores. Yeah, they should have that.
Okay,
stuff.
All right.
Yep, if not, I'd just do a search online. There's probably, gosh, hundreds of them now, different types, I'm sure, you know. Okie doke.
Right. Okay. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you too. So let's jump to John here and see what's going on. John, what do you got?
Yes, sir. I guess it's more of an understanding of how a house works. Okay. So I got a washer in the basement that drains into a sewer line that I'm assuming drains into a lateral line in front of my house underground. Okay. Uh-huh. So one morning I woke up after a lot of rain and there was dirt and mud around this sewer in my basement. And I was talking to a fellow at work and he says it sounds like dirt came in from that lateral line and up into my basement. And his solution is what he referred to as a backflow valve, which would prevent the dirt and, you know, the water coming up into my basement. Can you explain that to me? And I also had another question.
Okay, yeah. So for that drain, so I guess where you saw the dirt and mud was around the floor drain in the basement?
Exactly.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, he's spot on where you had some water back up and it brought in dirt and mud around that. And then when the water went away, of course, the dirt and mud kind of sticks to the floor and everything. So
exactly.
So what you have is you're right with the way the pipes run. They go to that under your floor and then they leave the house with one sewer lateral that runs out. So you probably have a lot of tree roots and things like getting into, you know, broken pipes, cracks in the pipe in that sewer lateral. So I would start off with having a drain sewer company clear that drain out and run a camera through it. And basically, okay, they can run a camera through that line and they can see the condition from the inside of that line. How many roots, how many cracks, what's real, is it holding water in places? Because you might be better off fixing that sewer lateral if it's in really, really bad condition, because if you put the thing that your friend's talking about that will block things from backing up, I've installed those when you're in an area where the sewer backs up all the time. But you're still going to not drain right if the rest of that line gets a lot of dirt and everything in it, and it's trying to drain. So I would start out with what's the condition of that sewer lateral, figure that out, and then I would say make a decision on do you do a backflow preventer. Basically, just it lets water out of it, but then if water tries to come backwards, it blocks it so it won't back up into your basement. It's not a bad thing to do, but you don't want that installed if you have a bad sewer line outside still.
Okay, that makes sense.
I would do that for that. And hey, I got to, you said you had another question. I got to get to a break here. Would you mind holding on your second question until we come back from this short break?
Well, I'm parked right now. How about if I just give you a call later on?
Yeah. Yep, that'll work.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your help.
Not a problem. I'm glad that was helpful. And Danny, if you could hold the line through the break also, I'll get to you then as soon as we return. We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, we are back. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here, your host, helping you out, answering questions, anything you need for your home. I want to kind of let everybody know, too, that so next week and next Saturday, we have an early baseball game, but I'll be here on the second hour. I know you guys are going to want some of your home improvement stuff, information, questions answered in the 12 to 1 hour. We'll still be here. We'll be able to answer your questions. So switch over to 97.1 if you want the Home Improvement Show from 12 to 1 next Saturday. And speaking of calls, we got Danny on the line. He was great to hold on all the way through the break for us there. Hey, what do you got going on for us?
You know what? I just tuned in, been busy out doing some pre-fall cleanup in the garage, and thought, oh, my God, I got a question. We live out in a rural area and kind of roughed in some plumbing on some things. And what we've noticed the last month or so, the only thing that goes into our septic tank is the sewer out of the toilet, naturally. But our kitchen sink water, our shower water, vanity water, and the water from the wash machine, they go out a 2-inch line over about 300 foot, and it's got about a 3-inch drop. And we've noticed the last month or so, maybe 6 weeks, only when we run the wash machine, we're getting a sewer smell back inside the washroom. But yeah, it's kind of a rotten egg smell, she was saying. But when we're doing dishes in the kitchen sink or using a shower or vanity in the bathroom, it's not a problem. It's just with the wash machine. I didn't know if you'd have any kind of ideas that I could kind of start troubleshooting.
Yeah. So what? So the 2-inch line, where does that end up getting rid of the water at the end of it, 300 feet away?
It ends up actually draining behind the spillway of my pond.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And it's got a cap, drain cap over it that's got the screw, or, you know, the holes in it to keep any kind of critters. And then we've got a clean out about 150 foot up to where if you'd ever have a problem with it, you could get in there with a snake. But yeah, it just, we were gone for a couple of days and didn't use the wash machine. And as soon as we got back and we used the wash machine, we started getting that smell again.
Oh yeah. And that is very interesting because my guess would be if I would question, do you know for sure in that laundry standpipe, is there a P-trap, like a J-bend, that holds water so that smells from that pipe don't come back against that? Because I'm wondering if they just didn't do that because of the way your system's set up, because it's not hooked into the whole septic, it's not hooked into the whole thing. So it could be that the pipe is just getting dirty and just getting grime in it and everything. And if there's not a pee trap that holds water that keeps what we normally call sewer gas smells from coming up, then then you know you could be getting that smell through that drain because you don't have that. Which, what I might recommend is kind of the same thing I was talking about with the other sewer and the drain lateral having the mud and the dirt and probably tree roots in it. There's sewer clearing, drain clearing companies. I would warn them if you call somebody that it's a 2-inch line. But basically, one of the ways that some of these companies clear these lines is with like blasting water. So as they, instead of using the screw thing that spins and grabs stuff and all of that, they use like jetted water and it blasts water and pushes it all out the back. If you did that to clean those pipes, that may very well take care of that smell until it returns again where you've run so much water through it. Because if you've got water from the kitchen and the showers, you've got all that soap from showering, from the wash machine, you've got soap and you've got food particles and all that from the kitchen, there could be a lot in that pipe, and 300 feet's a long way. So even though it drops enough to get rid of everything, it could just have spots in there where it's just building up kind of a scum, and you're just picking up that smell because you don't have a pee trap stopping it.
Okay. Well, I will check with the gentleman that did the plumbing in the bathroom and see if he installed one or not, because I wouldn't know what I was looking at if you put it right in front of me. So
yeah.
I don't know, I ask. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's a good thing to do. And once you know that, yeah, I would check with one of the, like a drain clearing company and see if they can run through there. Most of them are probably used to 4-inch pipes, though. So I don't, not positive. I mean, they'll have stuff for a 2-inch pipe, but it might not be that jetted thing. That I wouldn't be positive of. But ask the questions. You're doing the right thing. Ask the questions. Have the conversations. See what you can find out and keep looking into it till you figure it out.
All right. I appreciate all the help today.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate the call.
All right. Take care.
Yep. And that is definitely an interesting situation, the septic systems and draining like that, and it's definitely a different situation from normal, just right out in St. Louis, how sewers work, what everything connects up to. So if you're doing it that way, it could be installed a little bit different. So it's very interesting, all the different ways. Like we always say, there's 100 different ways to skin this cat or to cut this cake, and there truly is, and it's all about really trying to figure out what's happened, what can happen, and is there something that possibly should be changed with the system to stop these things from occurring. So a lot of just trial and error working through when you get into outside the box situations like that, like we were speaking about with the floor squeak. There's several different ways that these squeaks end up happening, and you just kind of gotta trial and error yourself through them to get it figured out. And it just takes a little time and a little effort, but you can get it figured out. So I appreciate all the calls and everything so far, and remind everybody we're gonna get into our break, but we got another half hour here, so plenty for you. Hopefully, maybe John will get parked again, and maybe he could call back too. 314-436-7900. I'd look forward to talking with you some more, so stay tuned. We'll have plenty more to come right after this.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, guys, we are back. The Home Improvement Show live for you today. Got all kinds of time left for you. Plenty of great conversations, questions happening. Again, you can find me at 314-436-7900, and we're going to jump right to Denny here and see what he has going on. Denny, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
I got sort of a sewer question.
Okay.
I have hydrostatic pressure coming up through cracks in my basement floor.
Okay.
Now, I've heard there's the drain in the basement. I've heard if you go down about 10, 12 inches and poke a hole in that, you know, clay drain tile that lines the sewer, that it'll alleviate your hydrostatic pressure coming up on the floor. It'll all go down right that sewer. Is that true, and is it legal?
So that is actually two very good questions. So it's true to an extent, because anywhere, you know, water takes the path of least resistance. So anywhere you can make a path for it to go, it can take that path. It may not be enough of a path for all of it, and it's definitely not legal. So in every municipality I've performed work in, the actual sewer lines, drains, they you know, MSD separates that from the actual drains of your home. So they don't want groundwater mixing in with the drains, and because it can cause drains to back up. They could have all sorts of different issues from that. So really, that's why we have sump pump systems that take that water back outside and run it off, pipe it off somewhere, and get rid of it to the surface outside somewhere. Because,
well, it only happens like when we get 2 or 3 days of intense rain. That's when I...
Yeah. Yep, and I've seen people do stuff like that all the time. I've seen where they did a little... They kind of did a kind of like a sump pump, but they just didn't do the sump in the pit and everything. They just did like the drain lines, and then they poked that pipe into that sewer drain, and anymore these days we're constantly getting rid of that and alleviating that when we perform work on the houses, because it's against code and they just don't want you to do it.
Yeah.
So,
but it does work.
It can work. Absolutely. Yep. It's
okay. Thank you.
If you think of water and the path of least resistance, that's
right,
what it's
yeah,
doing.
That's what I've heard.
It's got a way to go because of the pressure, and if you give it a different way to go, then, yep, it'll take the easiest path. Yep.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Very welcome. And we got, hey, John, I think John's back. John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm a different John from the other guy.
You're a different John. I thought maybe you were the same one with a second question.
No, well, I got one question.
Sure.
I got a stain in my dining room in the ceilings.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, dining room's in the front of the house. All the bathrooms are behind it. So I'm curious to what the source of this moisture is. I suspect it's ductwork, but I don't know how to validate it without ripping out drywall.
Well, I mean, it's definitely hard to validate without dripping off, without ripping out the drywall. But you're spot on to where there's a lot of reasons why water gets to places and how it's produced. And I was just the other day, I was talking with a client about their hardwood floors doing some cupping, and We actually talked about the ductwork to their running all around under the floors to their second floor, and how they have a mansard roof. So a mansard roof, it isn't a mansard roof built in the 70s isn't the best insulation value around a second floor. So You get warmer and all of that, and you get leaks because of how it's built. And I don't even necessarily mean water leaks, but air leaks, which bring moisture, humidity. So if you have something like that going on, your ductwork can just sweat. And
well, I'm wondering, this house is about 15 years old. It's a two-story frame construction.
Okay.
So do you think it might be... humidity in the attic that's causing it this water, because it's right in one corner. It's not a very large stain, but there's a beam that separates the hall from the dining room, and it's on both sides of the beam.
Okay. So, I mean, that's going to be a hard one to track down for sure. And you're probably, because that could be coming from basically the attic down the wall. It could be, if the bathrooms aren't too far away, it could be a plumbing stack that exits the roof and runs down that wall, and maybe that's leaking. There's so many areas. And again, like we were just talking about in the last call, water takes a path of least resistance. So this leak could be 4 or 5 feet away from where you're seeing it, and it could be running along the back of the drywall and then hitting kind of where that beam meets the drywall, and that's why you're seeing it there. And it could be 4 feet off to the side. And
so here's the million-dollar question. Is that something you'd call an HVAC for, or is that something your company could do? Where do I go for help?
So you definitely need a lot of investigation. It's definitely something our company at Mosby Building Arts could look into and kind of assess where does everything sit, maybe take some educated kind of guesses at where. But more than likely, you're going to have to cut into that drywall and start seeing if you can see it coming from a specific spot. But you can also examine other things and kind of look at the roof and kind of look at and make sure you don't find anything obvious. And a lot of times, and what I've kind of went over with people is, if I'm looking for a leak on the ceiling of the first floor, basically stop looking for it when you get to the rain clouds, because sometimes I've had leaks that were two or three things and you fix two of them and then it happens again and you're like, oh, I just found a third way up here. And so it could be a multitude of different things happening. So it's going to be that trial and error. Start out with just an examination. Where are things at? What do things look like? Examine everything we can physically see. And then if we don't have a really good direction from there, we cut into some drywall and we start getting at it, trying to find it. But it's about looking on the roof, looking in the attic, looking at the bathrooms, looking at the layout, where is everything, and seeing if we can find anything first.
Okay. Well, that helps. It gives me some direction to go in, and I'll give you guys a call and see if we can set something up.
Okay.
Perfect. Appreciate you.
I appreciate that very much. And hey, we've got another John back. I wonder if this is, yep, he's calling back. John, this is the one we spoke to earlier, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for calling back. Yeah, I appreciate you calling back.
Yeah, I appreciate your help on that sewer line. Second question. Okay, so I have a home in South St. Louis. It's probably 60 years old. I got an exhaust fan in the kitchen. It's a nice kitchen, you know, the white tile and everything. So I got an exhaust fan, and it doesn't work. And then when I open it up, it's got an Emerson motor, which I don't think is even made anymore. So how do I solve that problem? The exhaust fan does not work.
If you can't find the motor or a motor that will fit in there, if there's not a replacement motor, then it's going to be a full replacement of the exhaust fan. I would start off with any information you have on that motor, and you can start off with Granger. Granger is a company that has a lot of mechanical, like all the mechanical stuff. There's people there, if you call them, that you can maybe give them information on that motor, because there might be, if Emerson's out of business or not making that, there might be somebody making something that's a replacement for it.
Okay. That's W.W. Granger, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay, yep, buddy.
They have
so
a
much.
Big website, a lot of stuff you can search through, but they also have a you know, a warehouse store that you could call them to and talk to somebody. And I've ordered a lot of commercial fan stuff, outside the box things from them, and like the better exhaust fan dampers and stuff come from Granger. They have
okay,
great
stuff.
Okay,
well, I appreciate
there.
Your help.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks for calling back. A lot of great questions, comments, concerns, topics. Everything happened today. We've got one more segment left for everybody. So if you have something pressing, feel free to jump in the last segment and give me a call, 314-436-7900. Love to get you taken care of. We're going to jump into our final break here, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right. Final segment of The Home Improvement Show. Had a blast today. Great calls, great questions. Again, kind of like where we started, a lot about water, whether it's leaking, whether it's through the floor, whether it's in the sewers, how all that stuff happens. It's like water is the root of everything, all evil against the house. You have to manage it. You have to control it. So, but we're in our final segment. If you have something that you need real quick, we've got about 6-7 minutes here. You can give me a shout. We can get through something, 314-436-7900. But looking at ground moisture in the ground, looking at leaks, where does the water come from? I mean, I've had several over the years definite interesting looks at what's happening and trying to control stuff in different circumstances with how things are built. So talking about the leaks and trying to find where does a leak come from, I just had a call last week that I went on. It was the one I was just talking about with the mansard roof, with the ductwork, and they had a leak. It mysteriously in the dining room, and he did some roofing, did a copper metal pan, has a new roof put on, but those windows in that mansard roof, he still has some trim, some rotting trim. Stuff coming around those windows that can get behind all of that. So talk about the third thing to fix in a leak. You think you've got the roof and all that right, and then I'm looking at it going, boy, look at all this stuff around the windows. I think your leak's going to come back again. So just beware that there's other parts and systems that we need to focus on that might not be just the actual roof itself. But hey, we got Melanie on the line here, has a question for us. Melanie, what do you got going on?
Hey, so this is my third time of using your company. I had my ceiling. So Justin came out yesterday and comes out that I need to have ridge vents put on roofs.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know anything about ridge vents, and he explained it all, of course, so thoroughly. And because when the roofers had come out, they told me, now your roof's fine, but when they pull back the shingle, they're like, that wood is rotting up there from being wet. So then that's when Justin came out to give me his opinion. So I'll be using you guys again, but you might want to talk about ridge vents because it's really interesting to me.
Oh, yeah, and there's so many different scenarios with whether it's working or not and how well, but a ridge vent, and you have to have a lot of focus on the intake down low as well, on how the air comes in versus how the air goes out. And most houses are truly in balance because they have the soffit vents where the air comes in, so you have a lot of opportunity for air to come in down low along the whole wall. But if you do those turtle vents, they call them, the static vents, where you only have two or three of those across your roof, and you have the gable vents, it's really not necessarily pulling enough and utilizing all of that intake. So sometimes you end up with your roof ventilating in some areas better than others, and it's what we call imbalanced. I'm sure Justin probably talked a little bit about that. And when you do that ridge vent all the way down that ridge, it can then match up and line up with those soffit intakes and create a balance of it's pulling air from all of the roof down low all the way up and washing the whole roof as a whole on both sides. So it is really, really way more effective and a better way to exhaust the roof than the static vents. And another thing to be weary of is power vents. A lot of people, so they come in, a lot of roofers will come in and they'll have this roof and they'll go, okay, well, we'll just put in this power vent. It's run by solar power. And when your attic gets too hot, it'll turn on and it'll blow and it'll suck air out of your attic. Well, sometimes those power vents can actually be too much exhaust. So now if you're trying to pull out more air than the soffits can bring in, you really get into a pickle of where does that air come from. So it ends up coming from the first or second floor of the house, the attic access, the can lights, the wires that go through the top of the wall with a hole in the wall in the top plate for a wire poking through it. That's why now we try and seal all that stuff up, because it will get air takes the path of least resistance just like water does. So it will get that air from your home instead of outside. So the key to attic ventilation, and I think what Justin was doing a great job for us explaining to Melanie, is the key is balance, really making it work with one another. So it's not too much, it's not too little, and getting it to do the best thing possible. So closing off gable vents, there's all these different projects that we have to look at and scenarios with attic ventilation. It's so much more complicated than anybody really understands, than even what a lot of what I call shingle applicators understand. Is if and what I'd warn everybody out there of, if you have a roofing company or person come to your house and they say you don't have a ridge vent right now, and they go, yep, we can replace the roof, we're going to add this ridge vent, it's the best thing possible. If they don't talk more about that, if they don't look at other things, if they don't go into your attic and they don't talk about blocking gable vents and all this other stuff, then typically that means they're an applicator and they're putting on a ridge vent only because they've heard that that ventilates better than anything else. And it doesn't. It exhausts better than anything else, but it doesn't necessarily balance that system. And looking at that whole system and talking about how that works and what you need to do is what we've been trained here at Mosby to do. So like Justin has been at Mosby Building Arts as long, actually a little bit longer than I have, and he has worked in the field and managed projects and built all this stuff, so he has the knowledge to truly help and figure that out. Same thing like I'm trying to do here for everybody today. So great call, great question. Appreciate the words there, Melanie. And hey, had a great time. And for everybody else, be good to your homes. I'll talk to everybody next week.